If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're also sponsored by Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
Good, man. Doing good.
Good, guys. I'm excited. You know, we got a lot of basketball to talk about. We know we got guys in the MLB that got injured that, you know, really shift the power change. But, you know, Pride, yesterday, your Boston Celtics had a really big victory with that boy, Jason Tatum, man, dropping a 50-burger on in the playoffs. Well, it's not really playoffs, the play-in. But nonetheless, Jason Tatum should get his roses because the man went sick for 50 yesterday and solidified and clinched the seventh seed. And now they got Brooklyn on the horizon. And, you know, we all know that David versus Goliath is always a challenge we all look forward to. And every once in a while, David has a chance. But I'm going to start off with you, Price, since these are your Boston Celtics. Should Brooklyn be on upset alert when it comes to these Boston Celtics coming?
If we were healthy, maybe. But not only are we not healthy, but look, Jason Tatum dropped 50, right? Shout out to the guy. He'd go. LeBron who? Michael what? Nah, it's Jason Tatum. He'd go. I don't care what nobody said. But if you look at it, right, we only had three dudes scoring double figures. It was him. Then Kemba Walker gave you a respectable 29. And then guess who was the third man who gave us double digits? Tristan Thompson with 12 points. What am I supposed to do with that? Look, man, I made the joke last time, and I'm going to – this joke is becoming reality. My man Jason Tatum, he dropped a 50-burger to get swept in three by the Nets. I mean, right now it's literally just him. It's just him. Like, if we have more pieces, okay, yeah, definitely. But, you know, right now with all the injuries we got going on, Marcus Smart got injured in the game. I don't know what's good with him. Same thing with Robert Williams. He went to locker room. He got hurt. Went locker room. Came back 2 minutes later. Was like, oh, I'm out, coach. So I'm like, why come out then? Why just stay back there? Like, what is the point? Like, if you're gonna come to play 2 minutes, just stay back there. It is what it is. I don't know what's going on. Look, man, I don't care. I don't really care, bro. This year, we don't even deserve to be in the playoffs. I'm going to say this. I'm not one of these cornball. I'm not a cornball, like, moronic fan who goes, oh, that's my team. We deserve to be in the playoffs every year. No, that's stupidity. 110%. We didn't even deserve to be in the play-in this year. 110%. Like, literally, I don't know what's more inconsistent. My pullout game or my Boston Celtics this year. But regardless, they got to get fixed. Because this is getting ridiculous, bro. We're every single year, they're like, oh, yeah. Eastern Conference Final. And this supposedly, last year was the year we were supposed to get over the hump. Then what? Then what? They didn't want to play no more. Now this year, oh yeah, bro. Boston Celtics, it is their time. Can't do nothing. And I understand some of it does have to do with injuries. But again, at the same time, it's really not injured because even when we were healthy, there were times where we were on the court and we were playing lackadaisical. It looked like we were bored. Like Marcus Smart is like one of the most high energy dudes in the league today. People say, oh yeah, Russ, and Russ honestly leads the charge, but like maybe a notch or two under him is gonna be Marcus Smart. And there are days when my man is on fast breaks walking.
Absolutely. Every team should have a Marcus Smart on their team.
110%. But it goes to show, this man is walking on fast breaks. No. What am I supposed to do? We got Tristan Thompson over here to be the big man, right? And we're like, yo, Tristan Thompson, come on, bro. You got to be on it. Man can't stay on the court. Mm. My man making a donk $1 billion, and he can't set a couple of mil aside to work on his body so he can stay on the court. Then Brad Stevens don't know what he want to do with Robert Williams. He don't know what he wants to do. One minute he wants to start him. Then the next minute the dude don't deserve minutes. I'm like, bro, make up your mind. We need help on the interior. Then we get rid of Daniel Tice. So I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah. It's his time. And then there's still DNPs for the man. I'm like, Skip, what are you doing? Yo, when we played the Wizards, we had Kemba Walker. What is his name? Hashirama, whatever his name is.
Hashirama.
Don't matter. Get him out of here. The dude's a bum. They had Kemba Walker on him. You know how tall Kemba Walker is?
I know you did not just say the Hokage.
110%. Playing like that? Playing like that? Get him out of here. They have Kemba Walker on. And Kemba Walker is so tall, so dominant. Yo, he's so physical, my man can't even dunk. Had a fast break last night. He tried to dunk. He was like, had to lay it in. What am I supposed to do with this? And you really want me to come out here and be like, oh, yeah, Nets need to be worried. The Nets need to be worried about injuries. That's it. Playing us, that's it. That's the only thing they got to worry about. Is, oh, is KD going to get hurt or Jaylen? That's it. Now, if you're talking about us upsetting them, the only way we could possibly have a chance is if their big three goes down. If like, let's say it's KD and James or something. That's the only way. Barring injury, with what we have now, you expect me to come out here and say upset? Is that what you expect me to say? Because if that's what you're looking for, bro, I'm sorry, bro.
I'm trying to say,
I'm sorry.
You
right.
Set you up, bro.
No, I'm not one of these fickle. I'm not a fickle fan. You feel me? I'm not a fan who goes, "Oh yeah, bro, we're gonna win. We're gonna sweep everything." No, because you're stupid for that. And I'll be stupid to look at this camera dead in the face and be like, "Oh yeah, my Celtics, bro. Look, Kemba Walker, baller. Jason Tatum's lit." Now, Siri, what do I have after that? Nothing. 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 I could go out there and put up better points, bro. And I suck at ball. I was so bad. I didn't tell you the story why I left Connecticut, bro. I got beat up and I had to run from Connecticut because I was so bad at ball. They won't allow me, bro. I got banned from Connecticut. It's just insane.
He got
bro.
In one little fight and his mom got scared.
I just like I said, man, I don't it sucks because it sounds like I'm giving up on the Celtics, but we gotta be realistic here. With the horrible, and I'm classifying this as a horrible season. If you say it was a good season, you're stupid. That's it. That's all it really comes down to. We had a very horrible season. We should not have the record we have. We should not be. We should have been where the Knicks are. That's what we should have been. But no, we became the New York Knicks, right? We became the New York Knicks a few years back. That's what we decided to do, bro. You don't understand, bro. I'm low-key triggered. I almost punched my wall. Because when I heard Tatum drop the 50-burger, I was like, let's get it, baby. And I look and I go, oh, Kemba Walker's back. And I squint and I look and I'm like, wait a minute. Tristan Thompson with 12? Okay, well, who got up to that? Evan Fournier? Evan Fournier, I think he only had 8 points. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do with that, Skip? I get more nuggets in a Happy Meal than the points these dudes gave came off the bench giving me, bro. Like, what am I supposed to do, bro? So, are they on upset alert? No, as long as there's no injuries with them. And when I say injury, I'm talking about two of them got to go down, not just one.
You said
two.
So you said Nets in three, so you're thinking a straight sweep that they're gonna cancel Game Four.
It's gonna be so embarrassing that Adam Silver is gonna go stop. We don't want to see a murder. Game Four is canceled. Boston, go home. Just live in solitude for the rest of the offseason. Brooklyn, the Nets can advance and play. You know whoever they're gonna play in the second round. But you're not baiting me. I ain't gonna be foolish. You're not baiting me. You tried it.
I tried it, bro.
You're striking out worse than Aaron Judge.
Nice try, but I'm gonna keep it a buck with you guys. There's no way in hell that the Celtics are gonna upset the damn Brooklyn Nets unless they all three have to go down in order for something like that to happen. But it's curtains for Celtics. They underachieved all season. This is probably one of the most talented rosters that underachieved and was consistent all season. Yes, injuries hurt them, but they were missing a few key pieces that they had the few years back where the Celtics were very dominant and very good. You know, they had guys like Scary Terry coming off the bench, and you know, they had a few more bench players that were lighting up, giving the team energy. They're missing that Al Horford type of guy. They're missing players like that. And with the roster that they got now, with no Jaylen Brown, even with Jaylen Brown, I would have gave him at least maybe one game in Boston, because I feel like the Celtics with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum going, I think they're good enough to get one game from that series. But dude, without Tatum missing his wingman, it's just no shot. It's curtains for them. Like I said, you know, props to Jason Tatum. I feel like he needed to drop that 50 to beat the Wizards, because you take that 50-point game away and the entire team was just off. Kemba Walker sprinkled in that nice 29, but like I said, it was top heavy because they needed to shut it down. They needed, in order for the Celtics to win that game, they needed to run that entire game through the two stars that they had. And that's what they did. As far, you know what I mean? As far as going on to the next round, you guys kind of shot yourself in the foot, because you guys are playing Brooklyn Nets. James Harden's coming back. James Harden is back and he looks healthy. Kevin Durant has had his rest. The team has had their rest. They're ready. I think it's gonna be a sweep, no doubt, guys. No doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, it just sucks that for the Celtics that they do draw the prohibitive favorite in the East at the moment, at least the Brooklyn Nets. And you know, I think the only department where the Boston does have a chance against the Nets is the coaching department, because Nets don't have a coach. They're already established. Hey, we don't need Steve Nash. Steve Nash is not our coach. Meanwhile, Brad Stevens is actually a very legit coach in this NBA, and I feel like he himself could come up with a great scheme that would probably limit the Brooklyn Nets. I think that he'd have a good gameplay, but it's just, unfortunately, it's going to be Jason Tatum against three other powerhouses. And if Tatum gives you 50, so those three guys combined is just going to nullify that and overpower it. So it's just really it's really a tough spot for them. But, you know, I do give Boston a lot of credit because, you know, they did end up finding themselves in this play-in tournament and they handled their business. They knew that they were going to have a tough guy and Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, who came in second in scoring, you know, for the most of the year. Bradley Beal was that guy in the offensive boards. You know, because he missed the last few games of the season, you know, Russ has took out, I mean, not Russ, Steph Curry just got on fire. You know, right now Steph Curry is arguably playing the best ball that he's played in a long time, and we'll definitely get to that later in the show. But at the moment, you know, Jason Tatum just knew he had that responsibility that, hey, it's me against those two guys. If I had Jalen, I'd probably be good, but I don't. So I got to go out there and drop the 50 burger on them. All calories, eat it, get a heart attack, get out my stadium, because the Boston Celtics did what they needed to do, and they put the Washington Wizards center right where they have to be, because we did think that maybe the star power would have overwhelmed the solo Jason Tatum, but he proved, hey, two stars or not, I could compete standard, but unfortunately, you know, when it comes to three stars against him, that's just a little bit too much for him to handle.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of like the LeBron treatment. Remember when his two guys went down, and it's kind of like that.
Yeah. Got something for me probably before we move on?
I'm posting free agent. I'm pulling JJ. Pulling JJ. Posting free agent. Yo, whoever wins, that's my new team. That's it.
There you go.
I'm sick of the disappointment, bro. I'm so sick of the disappointment, bro, because year after year, I swear to God, bro, it looks like we're getting worse. The individual players, I don't know how we manage this. The individual players are getting better. But as a team, we're getting worse. And it's to the point where it's like at some point, if I'm Danny Ainge, bro, they're on the verge. I'm telling you right now, Danny Ainge is probably on the verge of panicking. And by the way, if anyone says, yo, we got to get rid of Brad Stevens, you're stupid. You just don't watch basketball. You're a casual. That's it. You're a casual. You're a casual if you think Brad Stevens is a problem. Because it's not Brad Stevens. Because when Brad Stevens draws a play and they actually stick with it, what be happening? We go on a win streak. Then all of a sudden, Marcus Smart think he Terry Rozier. And he like, oh, yeah, well, he got to start. Oh, let me be that guy. Bro, knock it off, Skip. You stay in your lane, to quote the great LeVar Ball. Stay in your lane. Nobody wants to stay in their lane. Yeah, no one wants to. The only two people who are allowed to be out of their lane is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And that's just because if I lose them, I lose everything. 100%.
I'm losing everything. But why are they not in their lane, Pride? Because isn't it the coach's job to keep those players in their lane?
No. They're grown men. I'm not blaming the coach. They're grown men. And if I'm a coach and I'm drawing up a play, they're gonna do what they're supposed to do, period. If you tell Jason Tatum, if you give him the play, he'll do it. You give Jaylen Brown the play, they'll do it. Then you got the lower tier guys showing up thinking, oh, yeah, I'm that guy. You're not that guy, bro. Yeah, you're getting better. Congratulations. It's great. But you're still not that guy.
Brad Stevens got to tell him he's not that guy, baby. That's what I'm trying to tell you, bro. Again,
if you think Brad Stevens should get fired, you're a casual who just watches highlights.
He should get fired, period. But I'm saying maybe
there's no debate there. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah. Nonetheless, you know, Boston is so used to winning championships. Boston is title town. We know this. So, you know, the offseason is always interesting no matter what sport it is when it comes to Boston.
Well, we can't even make a move in the offseason, bro. We're low-key strapped because they're saving their money because, if I'm not mistaken, Jason Tatum about to get paid stupid money. And you're crazy if the Celtics, they're going to let Jaylen Brown walk. So, like, we're hit. We're literally hit. Like, this is purgatory. We're in purgatory. I hate my life.
I'm happy I'm not the guy that has to make those decisions, Pride. So That's free. Nonetheless, I do want to flip to the other side of the match because, you know, the Wizards did lose, and now they found themselves in a play-in situation where it's really win or go home now against the Indiana Pacers. You know, so Bonus and his name is right to my mind, the shooting guard, Brogdon, you know, he came back after being injured, and he balled out. Malcolm Brogdon, he's good. You know, so Bonus has been a beast all year. You know, he is. You know, I was wondering where this guy was in Oklahoma. And I'm sure that he grew up in Indiana. He was still a boy at OKC, but I wanted to see that guy over there. Maybe I'll still be a Thunder fan. Who knows? Anyways, Sander, you know, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook because let's just call it, they're the best two guys on the floor, you know, come this game. And, you know, Westbrook has had this reputation that ever since KD left, you know, he's also had these good teammates, but just can't cross that final line, you know. So how much pressure do you think is on Westbrook and Beal in this matchup?
There's immense pressure on Russell Westbrook. Immense pressure because the conversation has always been, dude, can you compete? Do you want to win? Not just pad your stats. I understand that you when you look at the stat sheet and you look at Russell Westbrook, there's no way you could be like, oh, he didn't play hard enough to win. But his play doesn't accumulate to enough wins. And I understand the man began the amazing triple doubles, but sometimes you just got to like shut it down and do whatever it takes to win. Not just make sure you get 10 assists, 10 rebounds, and make sure you're scoring 25 plus, but taking 40 shots and only making 50 is what I'm trying to say. Dude, you have to start being smart, Russell Westbrook, because this game that the Wizards should definitely win. I understand that the Pacers have a guy like Sabonis and Brogdon, but other than that, it's a bunch of who's who. TJ Warren hasn't been the same since the bubble. The amazing TJ Warren that we saw in the bubble that was dropping,
last year, 50
has not been the dude this season whatsoever. And
because he's injured.
Well,
it's because he's
for a reason.
He's not playing.
Well, he did play this season.
That's what I'm saying. When he played,
he didn't show any signs of the guy that he was in the bubble. At least he even dropped 25.
He wasn't a scrub. I'm not saying he was a scrub. You're implying
he wasn't that dude in the bubble. That's what I'm saying. So
he wasn't bubble Warren. He was just regular Warren.
A lot of NBA players and former players say there's guys in the gym shine when there's nobody and no fans. As soon as that bubble hit, there was no fans. So guys like TJ took it to advantage. Once the fans came, he shrunk, is all I'm trying to say. But regardless, the Indiana Pacers, they're not as talented enough to beat the Wizards. So this is a game that if the Wizards somehow lose this game, I don't care if they lose by one or they get blown out. If they lose this game, you're going to really just look at Westbrook as a complete joke at this point because you have this number two leading scorer in the league. This is a guy that can get buckets and is efficient. And all you have to do, dude, is drive in, draw the crowd, and dish it out. I don't want to so hard about it. But for Russell Westbrook to lose the game, JJ Pride, you're just gonna look at Russell Westbrook as just a guy, just another guy. Yeah, give me all the points you want. But at this point, man, I don't care what you do anymore. It's kind of like the LA. He's become the embodiment of the Atlanta Hawks of the NBA, where they have great seasons. They have good numbers. Do they get to the championship? Do they win? Nope. So that's Russell Westbrook. Westbrook is the human embodiment of the Atlanta Hawks.
That's one I haven't heard. Pride.
I'm not a TJ Warren fan, but I got to defend the slander. You guys were saying that, he hasn't looked the same. I don't even think the dude even played 10 games. Like, the dude has not played hardly at all. So for y'all to make it seem like, he's not bubble Warren. Well, yeah, because he hasn't had the chance to play to show he's still bubble Warren. Now, whether or not he is, I don't know. But to just make it seem like the dude's a scrub and he hasn't even played 10 games, That's unfair.
I mean, he was a scrub before the bubble, bro. Bubble, he shined.
No, he was. He was not a scrub. He was not a scrub. And okay. You can't. He was not a scrub. He wasn't a star. He was a solid role player. I'll give you that. But if you're gonna call him a scrub, that's why you can't call him a scrub. And then at the same time, you're worshiping a guy like Tyler Hero. Like, if you want to say he was a solid role player, I'll take that. I ain't gonna debate that because it's true. But stop making it seem like the dude was a scrub. The dude is not a scrub. Like, I just want to defend teams. And I don't really defend him. I hardly even talk about him because I don't really care for him like that. But I just gotta defend the standard. Now, to answer your question, is there pressure? There's no pressure at all whatsoever. There's none. Because when Russell Westbrook retires, what is his legacy going to be? Not winning.
Triple double king.
That's it. That's it. Like that's his legacy. And that's really much all he really cares about. And again, not knocking it, because yo, if I could go out there and average a triple double, what do you think I'm gonna do? Average a triple double. Like that's what I'm gonna do, especially because everyone has said
not one, not two, not three, four times.
Yeah. Four in the last 5 years, he's averaged it. And again, it's impressive. But to say that he's under pressure, he's not. Because at the end of the day, he was under more pressure back when he had Carmelo and Paul George and they lost to Portland.
Oh, absolutely.
That right there was the end of his legacy in terms of championships. Because that was the best opportunity he could have had.
I'll disagree with you in this aspect, and I'll let you go. But I do think that when he went to Houston with Harden, I think themselves had realistic expectations of doing it. I'm not sure if the league thought they would do it, but I think between Harden and Russ, I think they really thought together they could win one. But I digress. I'll let you go.
Which is fair. If you also want to say that, I'm not going to disagree because, again, when he went there, he replaced Chris Paul. They did believe that, which is why James Harden pushed so hard to get Russ. So if you want to make that point, I can concede that point. That is a legitimate point. But – matter of fact, I'll go with you. Let's say it was Houston, right? When Russ left, Houston was basically the only spot he could have went that A, could have paid him, and B, he had a legit chance of winning a championship.
Yeah.
That like to get the, because again, his contract was ridiculous. So basically, you know what I mean? So when he went there and he lost there, what did he say? I want to be the guy who has the ball, so I need to leave. When a guy tells you, I would rather have the ball rather than stay in the situation, the best possible situation to win, that tells you all you really need to know about the dude's legacy. He doesn't really – I don't want to say he doesn't care about winning. I'm not going to say he doesn't care about the championships. But if you were to ask a guy like LeBron, what's more important? He'll say championships. If you were to ask a guy like Kevin Durant, what's more important? He'll say championships. And if you want to go back, Dirk, Chris Bosh, D Wade, anyone. If you ask anyone, they'll say championship. I feel like if you were to ask Russ, he'll say the triple double. Because again, when you're that guy that, oh, Steph is better than you. Oh, James is better than you. And there were times when people saying Chris Paul is better than you. In his mind, he's like, I got to prove I'm better than them. So I'm going to go do something they can't do, which is the triple double. Henceforth, every single time they talk to him about championships, he kind of doesn't really pay mind to it. He kind of just goes, you know, we'll go out there and play. But if anyone says anything about the triple double, you kind of see this brash Russell Westbrook where he goes, I want to see them do what I do, which again, I'm not knocking you for.
Kudos.
But again, but his legacy is not going to be anything about championships. It's going to be about the triple double. He's not going to be a guy that you look at and he has team success.
What if he wins one?
Won't matter. Well, let me ask you a question.
If they win one, Sander, it wouldn't be because of him, I think.
And not only that, but let me ask you a question. When you think of Oscar Robertson, what do you think of?
But if he's a contributor, I mean,
Hold on.
Triple double. When you think of,
okay. Notice how you didn't say that he won two rings.
Yeah, that's triple double.
So if Russ were to go,
he got him later in the career. You know, like he wasn't.
He got him when
he still contributed. He still contributed, though. Absolutely. Now, he wasn't the same Oscar who was out there dominating, but he still contributed.
I feel like if he contributes, it's not going to be the same.
You know, let me get in here so I can kind of just wrap up the thing. You know, I do think I side more with Price Hart because you made a great point. You know, Oscar Robertson did win the triple-dub. He's a champion, too. And if Russell was to win a championship, Sander, I still think that, you know, when you address Russell Westbrook, triple-double king, champion will probably come right after, because that triple double to him is just more iconic. So when I read the question, how much pressure is on Beal and Westbrook? I think Beal, I think he has the competitive thing in him where he wants to win. But when it comes to pressure with Westbrook, I don't feel there's any pressure on him, because I don't think he feels there's any pressure on him. He plays so free. It's like, why is there any pressure on him when he doesn't feel it himself? Like, I think he's more about, like you say, he's more about stardom. He cares about his numbers. If it comes with a win, cool. If it doesn't, I'm still Russell Westbrook. I'm selling sneakers. Hashtag why not? That's just who he is. So nonetheless, you know, I do think that it'll be a matchup that's going to be fun to watch. I do think that the Wizards will win. Do you guys both think the Wizards will win?
I think the Wizards will win.
We don't know.
I can't say that, because every single time there's a time where Russ has to step up, more times than not, he doesn't. Yeah. Like against the Celtics, he was supposed to step up. And the dude had, like, it took him what? If I'm not mistaken, it took him like 20 shots to get 22 points, something like that. I mean, you know, and again, let me not let Bradley Beal get away with it, bro. My man took over 25 shots to get 20 points. We definitely can't let him off the go. I'm going to say Pacers, but, you know,
I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Nonetheless, you know, it'll be a very intriguing matchup to watch, and we'll all have eyes on it. But I do want to transition to the MLB, because one of its biggest stars, and Mike Trout, you know, has a great two catcher, and he's bound to miss 6 to 8 weeks, guys, which is, you know, whenever a good player goes down, it just hurts the sport itself. Pride, and you know, we've had a lot of conversations about Mike Trout. You know, I'm not the biggest guy on him, but I would never disrespect this talent, because I think he's a phenomenal talent. I've always just had a problem with the Angels just not being able to get over the hump, whether he was a factor in that or it's the upstairs management or not. Nonetheless, you know, all of us on the stand will come up here and agree this guy's at worst a top three guy in this league, no matter, and on the worst day, he's three. But nonetheless, you know, he has been injured, and the Angels, you know, they got a new star in Ohtani that we're a big fan of too. And it looks like they have a star that they can at least lean on. He's not Mike Trout just yet, but you know, I feel like Ohtani has this Yao Ming effect, you know, where Yao Ming really had that overseas fan base that really helped, you know, keep him elevated. I think Ohtani has that same support, you know, with the Asian community. So with that being said, do you think that the Angels should possibly shop Trout, you know, and try to maximize what they can get and maybe build around Ohtani, or keep Trout and just try to make things work regardless of the injury history and just deal with what comes with the greatness?
Dare I say, they should trade him. They should. And I'm not saying this because he's bad.
I like it.
I'm not saying this because he's bad. Let me just say that I believe Mike Trout currently, I might catch on for this, I think he's the second best player in baseball. For me,
who's Mookie?
No, whoa, he better than Mookie. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Who's number one? Do that.
But Jacob DeGrom is one. I don't care what nobody says. I'm not a New York fan, but if you want to fight,
outside of pitcher.
Okay, so if we're not doing pitchers, then sure, I'll put him number one.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. But it's to the point now where I don't know who the problem is. I don't know if it's Trout, or like you said, JJ, or if it's management. I don't know who the problem is, right? So it's to the point where, and I hate to say this, I really do, but if the dude can't stay healthy, I've said this before, the man could be batting 400, and he could have like, he could be Barry Bonds times two. If the man can't give me at least 100 games, I'm going to start looking at you funny. That's what I'm going to have to be like, all right, this is getting ridiculous. Like, I love you and all. Great, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a massive chunk of the season that's straight up DNP because you're injured. Yeah. Like, you know? So if not I'm them, I want – you said what?
Not just one time either. It's just like one, two, yeah, how many times, so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's always something with him. And it's – personally, this is my personal opinion.
Can I say this, though, before you keep going? Okay. Is it almost at John Carlos Stanton level almost now?
I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to say that.
Okay.
Notice how John Carlos Stanton's injuries kind of – he still gets injured, but not as much when they put him in the DH spot. Yeah. That's what you're going to have to do with Mike Trout. Unfortunately, there's this Asian guy who just happens to play there, who just so happens is the greatest – hitter in history, and that, look at that go! What a go! Watch him throw the ball. Watch him throw the ball. Watch him. Look at that delivery. What a go, man! I love this kid. The future is bright for him. This kid,
he's a creative player. He's a creative player on the show.
If I'm the Angels, I sit down with Trout and I say, look, we're sorry. We love you. You've done a lot for us, but we kicked Albert Pujols out the door. And no disrespect to you, but he's double the player you are, bro. Like, my man's batting as a career average 299. You feel me? And the only reason he's 299 is because he had a slump his last year. And now he went to Dodgers. I don't think he wanted to be in LA anymore. You feel me? Because all of a sudden he goes to the Dodgers. My man wanted to hit a banger in his debut. What is this?
You see that?
What is this?
He wanted to be an Angel. Yeah. He wanted to be in LA, but he wanted to be a Dodger.
To that
I'm
going
to say this right now. He pulled a Blake Griffin. He faked it until he made it to his destination, bro. This man faked it until he made it. And now he's in LA. And now all of a sudden he popping off, bro. But look, if they're willing to an Albert Pujols, who is like we said, no debate, first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then we just got to burn it. We got to burn the music. We got to burn it down. We got to bring the Huffa down to the ground. Yeah. They let him
walk. For Albert.
Yeah, they let him walk. What you think Mike Trout going to do? Mike, bro, we owe you loyalty, bro. You that dude, even though you can't play full season. You still that? What? No, man. Look, the only position right now for Mike Trout is DH. They got Shohei. Where else? It's kind of like saying he just doesn't fit. And by the way, Otani's out here in left field. Skip.
Yeah.
My man pitching, play outfield, and hitting the bats. Bro, I'm getting Mike Trout so fast, bro. You would have thought I threw a real Trout past his screen, bro. I'm getting rid of this man quick, fast, in a double-D hurry, bro. Because 110%, and again, no disrespect to Mike Trout, but just because of the situation he's in right now, the only thing you can do with him is put him in DH. They already have a budding star in the DH position. So if I'm the Angels, he still has value. So I definitely look to trade him.
And Sander, I'll pass it on to you with this because, you know, I know the idea of shopping Trout just sounds crazy, you know, in context. But, you know, like, it's a possibility that it just doesn't work for both parties. Like, you know, some relationships just don't work on both sides as much as they try, Sander.
For sure. And, you know, when you first said trade him, Pride, I was like, damn. But, you know, it does make more sense the more you really look to it because of his history. His injury history is incredible. I lost count how many times before midseason this thing gets hurt for the rest of the season. And I swear to God, if he wins MVP of the league and he's missed the entire – I swear to God, I'm gonna flip. I'm going to flip.
Don't do that.
There's no way.
You said with Embiid, it don't matter.
In MLB is different, bro. In MLB is way different, bro. It's a completely different sport, brother. But I feel like what the big problem with the Angels is, okay, take away the injury. I understand injuries happen. It's a calf strain. It wasn't like some accident. Those type of injuries are just contact. Like, I understand those happen. Honestly, what the Angels should really be doing is I would keep Trout still because he's at worst when healthy. He's top
Trout.
Three.
I get it.
He's Trout. But you need to start spending your money on bats and start spending your money on arms because for the past few years, Angels have been loading up and loading up the batter's box with bats that go soft and go dead and they don't shine. In the bright lights of LA or Anaheim, they don't. So to take that in consideration and start taking a page out of these teams that are contending, take a page out of their book, start bringing in arms, start bringing in these pitchers that help you keep team to a run average so you guys can at least try and put up 2 or 3 points because the Angels get smoked, man. Otani, if you had like 3 Otanis on your team, you'd be a World Series contender, my man. But you don't. You only got those. And you have to be really careful with Otani because of his usage, because he can go out there and pitch, because he can be out there batting. You have to be very careful. Otani is a Ferrari that if you tap, if you like just throw a tiny little rock at, it could move the entire car. So you have to be really careful with Otani. You can't put all your marbles on a guy like Otani because of his – because dare I say he's too valuable. You can't put all your marbles on him. Valuable. He's too valuable. So you can't just overuse them. You got to take your time with Ohtani. You need to surround this team with good arms, veteran pitching, just pitching, period. The talent, the Angels have not had a top five, top 10 pitcher in how long, guys? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, we have never, for as long as I can remember, I've never said the team Angels and heard of a guy like a DeGrom or a guy like
Ace, like a clear ace. Yeah.
Maybe Weaver back then. Weaver back then.
What about Jack? What about Lackey? What?
John Lackey, bro. Look, I remember John Lackey.
When he was there, he was
good. Yes.
Oh, no,
how many years was that, bro? How many years was that is what I'm trying to say, bro.
I mean, he was good, but you got to think about the guys in the same era that were also really good that are were just a little better than him. He's definitely a good guy, Pride. Not disagreeing at all.
He's not terrible, but, dude, he's not no one every team. You look at John Lackey's best years, you can look at every MLB team. And I guarantee you there's going to be pitchers better than John Lackey, bro. At least 10. Mike Mussina was better than John Lackey. Light years better than Lackey, bro. John Lackey, to me, I remember him. And
now we just saying anything.
As a Red Sox. He was better as a Red Sox than he was an Angel. Anyway.
We just say anything.
The Angels have not had a dude since Lackey. They haven't had an ace since Lackey.
And let me grab it at that point, Sanders. Let me grab it at that point because I think you made a great point, and this is my biggest issue when it comes to the Angels. You're in L.A. You're in Anaheim. I see a team across the street in the Dodgers that just grabbed Mookie Betts, just grabbed Trevor Bauer, and they live in the same city as you, and you got arguably the best player out of both teams in Mike Trout. Why can't you make things happen?
Because hold on. Flag on the play, bro. Yes, Mike Trout is the best, okay? But if you have the best player, right, play against four guys who are in the top 10, what do you expect the man to do?
Well, let me get to what I'm saying. Because I don't have a problem with Trout. I'm not attacking Trout in my soliloquy at all. Okay. My problem is with the upstairs management, because you're in the same city as the Dodgers, and the Dodgers seem to have no problem with their management getting guys. And, you know, at that moment before they got Mookie Betts, I thought that the best bargaining chip is, yo, we got Clayton Kershaw. We got a few good pieces, too. Like, we're right there. And once they got Mookie Betts, that's when you really felt, all right, the Dodgers are going to be in the World Series. And they did, and they actually ended up winning it. So much credit to them. It just shows you that if you're aggressive, sometimes it does pay off to your benefit. So that's why I'm so confused with the Angels, Pride, because it's like you're in the same city. You, like I said, you arguably had the best player out of both the teams. Why can't you hook up Mike Trout the same way you were able to get Clayton Kershaw team? You were able to get Trevor Bauer in the Dodgers. Mike Trout's a good guy. You got Ohtani, so it's not like you're not trying. You know, you did get Albert Pujols when he was a little younger, so it's not for lack of trying. But it just seems like they could just never keep up with the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's a
management thing. It has to be something about the culture.
It could be a management thing.
There's a point of that. And tell me if you guys agree with this. They're the Clippers to their Lakers.
Yeah, worse.
In essence, they share the same city. The Dodgers are way more loved than the Angels.
They're like the Kings.
I wouldn't say way more.
Because you know what? Right now, the Dodgers essentially will be the Clippers. But like I said, in just the sense of LA. I don't know, guys. LA is just such a great town for sports that it just confuses me that, you know, LA having a guy like Trout, arguably one of the best players in the MLB, that they just can't make something happen. It just dawns my mind. But, you know, there is another matchup in LA that's going to be great. You know, LeBron and AD are going to be full action with Drummond out there against Steph Curry and the Warriors. And, man, like we mentioned in the last show, it just seems like LeBron and Steph Curry just can't stay out of each other's way, Sander. They just keep bumping heads. And, honestly, like I said before, I love it, man. But, you know, both teams do want to get into the seventh seed because they want to avoid that second game. You know, LeBron is still nursing that injury along with AD and Steph Curry. He a one-man show out there that has to carry a lot of weight. So both guys have a lot to play for. They definitely want to get their rest. But to you, Sander, who do you think needs to win more?
I mean, this without a question, who needs this win more? The Los Angeles Lakers, because they definitely don't want to fall and mess around and play the Clippers in the round. They would definitely it would be in their best interest to get this dub and make sure they're the seventh seed. So I'll tell you this right now. I don't I remember watching LeBron.
Did you see the Clippers?
I was about to say they're not playing the Clippers. The Clippers are the first.
They would either play Phoenix or Utah.
If they win, they would play Phoenix.
If they lose, they would have to play the play-in. But if they best case scenario for them, if they lose tonight, would be to play Utah. Just to correct you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the best case scenario for them, is to make sure they get the dub so they could play a team like Utah. Because I don't care what you say, I understand Utah's been a top three team all season. But LeBron and AD and Andre Drummond and those Lakers, they're not going to lose. I think they could probably gentlemen sweep the Utah Jazz, which would be crazy. But it's the Lakers we're talking about.
It's not crazy. Sure. I see LeBron do it all the time.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But it'd be him as a low seed.
No, I get you.
So you don't usually see LeBron as a low seed. I don't remember when was the last time you saw LeBron, a LeBron-led team, under the fifth seed in the playoffs. So this is all new. But, you know, I'm not going to bet against LeBron against Utah. There's no way in hell. So I believe for sure LeBron needs this win. And as far as Stephen Curry, my man, time to have a little taste of your own medicine. When LeBron was missing Kyrie and missing K-Love and had Dellavedova, you was crewed up. You had your boy Clay, your boy Draymond. Y'all was all-star. Iggy was all-star. Finals MVP. You was crewed up, and you beat up on an older LeBron. So now it's time for him to return the favor and smack y'all by probably 20 points. I see it being a blowout. I think LeBron is not going to play any games this game because he knows the type of player that Stephen Curry is, regardless to what. Even besides the talent that the Golden State Warriors have, the talent, the Curry alone is dangerous enough to make sure it's competitive. So you got to make sure you completely isolate and just take Curry out of the game as best as possible and just route him that way. So for sure, LeBron needs this more, because if he loses to Steph Curry and Steph has nobody with him, I don't know how the voters do not vote for just based bias for Steph Curry as MVP if he beats LeBron. So this LeBron definitely needs this win way more than Curry, because Curry doesn't have his guys. If he loses at the end of the day, hey, I have my guys.
Yeah. And just to make clear before I pass it on to you, probably whoever does end up losing the game will be hosting the winner or whoever plays in the following game, which is Memphis and Grizzlies. Go ahead, Brad.
You mean Spurs and Grizzlies? You said Memphis and Grizzlies.
Oh, sorry. Memphis and Grizzlies. Hot.
Spurs and Grizzlies. I really don't like this question, because it's the play-in.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's the play-in. Like, this isn't – me personally, there's no pressure on nobody here. There's none. Now, there's more pressure on the worst game, which is going to be the Spurs and Grizzlies, over this game, because if let's say the Lakers lose, they have a safety net to be the eighth seed.
Yeah, yeah.
If the Warriors lose, they have a safety net to be the eighth seed. If anything, there's more pressure on the Grizzlies and the Spurs, who I said before, it's going to be the worst game.
Yeah.
There's more pressure there, because guess what? If you lose, you go home. You don't come back. You want to try to go, oh, yeah, let's run it back. No, Skip, you don't get to run it back, but you want it done. When it comes to this game, you lose. You got a safety net. So in terms of who has pressure, no one really has pressure. Like,
question isn't necessarily pressure. It's kind of just who do you think will benefit more from winning early, not necessarily pressure. Because I mean,
the Lakers really won't benefit either way, because let's say they make the seventh seed, they're playing Jazz. And if they get the eighth seed, they're playing the Suns. Now, who's beating them?
Flip-flop that. But, yeah, I get
you. No, that's what I'm saying. The Jazz is the second seed.
Jazz is the first seed, I believe.
Oh, they're first seed? Oh, they got it back? Okay. So then if they're the eighth seed, they play the Jazz. And then if they're the seventh seed, they play the Suns. Which one of those teams is beating them? None. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess you can say it's more important for Steph, I guess. But if I'm Steph, I wouldn't really care. You know what I mean? Because at the same time, like you said, his men are gone. You feel me? Golden State is not really – they don't care this year.
It's kind of like house money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're just waiting for, oh, yeah, we're going to get, you know, next year, Klay going to come back. Now we're going to see how Andrew Wiggins fits in, and then we expect Draymond to step up. They're kind of just like, we're going through the motions. If we win, great. If we lose, don't matter. Like, we're just looking for next year. So, I mean, I guess Steph, because if he wants to be like, oh, yeah, look, I mean, the playoffs, I mean, the easier way for him would be to play the Suns because, you know, I don't know why, but he basically is CP3's father. I don't get how that works, but he owns CP3 every time in the playoffs. I don't get it. I really don't. CP3 looks like an all-world guy, and then he looked like Cliff Paul. You feel me? He go from Chris Paul to Cliff Paul every time he plays Steph. I don't get it. I really don't. But if I'm Steph, sure, I would want to win this game so then I can end up going, you know, getting that seventh and playing. But at the same time, it's like, doesn't really
Let me get in here. I definitely get your point about, you know, there's really no pressure in this particular game. I think that both teams are necessarily more playing for sense of relief. The feeling of I can just rest now and not worry about the eighth seed. I just want to get the seventh seed and get myself ready so I can just play whoever the two seed, Phoenix. Yeah, but yeah, I agree. Not much pressure, but I do think that it will benefit AD and LeBron just to get an extra day or two in this particular moment in the season after playing 72 games. Definitely benefits the two stars that actually have championship aspirations. Right now, like I mentioned, Steph's kind of playing with house money. The only thing that this could do for him, if he were to beat the Lakers, like you said, Sander, maybe just cost a little more roar in your MVP campaign. But I do think that right now, Jokic has just made too much of a campaign. I think that CP3's roar is just a little louder than Steph's right now. So I don't see a scenario where even if Golden State were to clinch the seventh seed, that Steph Curry gets any other consideration for MVP. But I do want to flip up to the other side because we do have Grizzlies and the Spurs this time. Got it right this time, Pride. You know, facing off, you know, Ja Morant's second trip to the play-in. You know, last year they got humiliated after playing hard, just flamed out late. But they got to go against Popovich and those Spurs, you know, and somehow I'm surprised. I feel like I'm still not used to the Spurs without Tim Duncan. I don't even feel like I know this team without him. But nonetheless, Pop is there. DeRozan's there. Aldridge was there earlier, but now he's gone. So like I said, I really feel like I don't know much of this team. But somehow you got to give Pop and a little bit of credit because even though it's the play-in, he put them in that position to be there. So, Sander, you know, do you think that if Pop were to lose this game to these young Grizzlies, what does that do for his legacy? Sander?
Oh, you said, oh. Well, to be quite honest, it does nothing to Greg Popovich's legacy. The man is a made man. He's a made legend. At the end of the day, Greg Popovich right now is in the same situation of Bill Belichick, where Bill Belichick had this great run with Brady. Popovich had this great run with, you know, Robinson, Duncan, Lee Park. Those players is gone. Brady's gone. Now, Popovich is in a situation where now you have to rebuild the Spurs. You have to make sure you build them and build a championship caliber team as the likes of, you know, that San Antonio is accustomed to. Because regardless of what, as a head coach, it's not like you got to just coach. No, you got to start moving on to the next situation. And he's been able to build a solid team so far with the talent he's been able to grab. You know, DeJounte Murray, to me, he's a player on the rise. He's still young. He's actually pretty good. I like DeJounte Murray. You said it yourself, DeRozan, Aldridge is gone. So you really don't know the Spurs anymore. But I tell you, Greg Popovich is a legend. He's an all-time great. So regardless to what, if he wins or loses this game, this isn't going to affect them one bit. But this, on the other end, on the other court, this would definitely elevate a player like Ja Morant because a coach like Popovich is going to try and take out your best option, Ja Morant. So if Ja Morant is able to, you know, show evolve and show that, you know, he's learning to play systems, learning different systems, what other coach is a better dub under the belt for you to say, like, yo, I beat Greg Popovich in the Spurs. Like, I was able to do my thing, drop a 20 piece or whatever on the get the dub. That's no easy feat. When, you know what I mean, when our guy LeBron met the Spurs that first year in Cleveland, he got humbled, okay? Humbled. And it's just a testament to how great of a coach Popovich is. So Popovich is obviously going to go in there. All right, you see this guy, Ja Morant? We're going to take him out the game. And on the other side, you're going to see Ja Morant learning Popovich's defense, see what kind of – see what they throw at him. And if Ja Morant is showing the progression that you and I see, JJ, I promise you, you're going to see this game, and it's gonna be able to give you that. Yo, Ja Morant is becoming what we thought he was going to be, and that's a superstar in this league. So getting a win of Popovich, it affects Ja Morant more than it affects – than a loss to Popovich is what I'm trying to say.
I feel like you're about to say something. Well, it probably gets quiet. I get nervous, everybody.
Because it's nuts to me. The kid is shooting 44% from the floor, 30% from three. But he's this phenomenal dude who, like, is going to make a magical run. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You know, I mean, I don't know. But to answer this question, yeah, right, even though the dude can't buy a three-point shot, he's very inconsistent. 1 minute he'll give you something, then all of a sudden it comes off the floor. Dude is very inconsistent on defense. But, again, second coming to LeBron James. Anyway, personally, I'm not betting against Pop. I can't. But I'm conflicted with this because we've already seen this story. DeMar DeRozan, as your best player, what does that get you? Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen this story. Like chapter one, Toronto. Chapter two, oh, no, LeBron. Chapter three, Toronto. Like, that's just kind of how it is. Like, I don't want to bet against Greg Popovich because I do feel like he's a great coach. I just don't see him letting this go, but I'm kind of conflicted because at the same time, it's DeMar DeRozan. Now, if they have LaMarcus Aldridge still, I mean, you know, you could, you know, it'll be fine, you know, but at the same time, it's like you have DeMar and then DeJounte Murray. I mean, again, solid dude. I like him, but to be your number two, I just, at this point in his career, he's just not number two material. Like, he's a solid rotational dude, of course. Like, you know, you definitely – I'm not – like, you know, you put him on any team. If you put him on, like, 80% of the team, he'll get his good share of minutes. He'll play, like, between 17 and 20 minutes. He'll get his fair share. But, again, I'm rolling with Pop, but at the same time, I'm very apprehensive because, like I said, we've seen this movie before. DeMar DeRozan –
And people try to say that you're not concerned about Pop. You're more concerned about DeRozan.
Yes, that's basically the issue because DeRozan will, when the time is to cash in, and people say it was LeBron, and I go, hold on. But getting to LeBron, he also did have some games where the dude just disappeared off the face of the planet. So it wasn't just a LeBron thing. To me, DeMar DeRozan is a dude who he's not really built for the playoffs. He's really not. You know what I mean? Like, and it sucks to say, you know what I mean? But at the same time, that's kind of just the reality. So I'm going to take Pop on this. I'm going to take the San Antonio Popoviches. That's the team I'm going for right now. I'm not going for the Spurs because with DeMar DeRozan, bro. Yeah, San Antonio Pop. That's what I'm going for. You know, like I said, I just don't see Pop letting this game go. But at the same time, I think I've said it before. These guys are just fighting to lose to the loser of Golden State and Lakers. That's what they're really doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is just an extra step. You know what I mean? What this kind of reminds me of, it kind of reminds me of the UFC. I can't remember who, I think John Jones was supposed to fight somebody, right? And they pulled out. So they just threw Dennis Siver. Like, yo, take Dennis Siver. They just threw him in there for literally no reason whatsoever. They threw him in there solely because, I lied, it was Conor McGregor. I'm sorry, it was Conor McGregor.
I can't remember who John Jones fought.
And he fell out, and then they literally threw Dennis Siver in there. They threw him in there, and they were like, yo, Conor, you're fighting Dennis. And he's like, wait, what? He goes, you're fighting Dennis. He goes, this is too easy. You're fighting Dennis. Like, that's it. But what about, you're fighting Dennis? That's kind of what this kind of seems like to me. It's like, they're going to go bonkers, right? And then, like, whoever wins, right, they're going to be so hyped. They're going to be like, confetti's going to fall. They're going to be like, hey, hey, hey. And then they're going to look up at the Titantron. It's going to say, like 2 days. So-and-so versus Golden State or so-and-so versus Lakers. And you're just going to see, I regret all my life choices. Like that, you know what I mean? So, like, honestly, again, I'm not going to bet against Coach Pop. I'm really not. Low key, I hope Pop loses. I want Pop to win, and I hope the Lakers lose. Because there's just something about LeBron versus Pop that I kind of like. But, you know, yeah. I'm going to matchup. Yeah, I'm going Spurs.
Yeah, you know, I got a personal bet on this one where Memphis cuts it to the AFC by beating San Antonio, then Golden State. So I got to stick my ground. So I got to pick Memphis to beat San Antonio. I just feel like, I don't know, the San Antonio team is just, I don't even know what the word, like I said, I feel like they've always been called broccoli, and I just feel like the Memphis Grizzlies are just going to get on their vegetarian wave and eat the broccoli and then go ahead and face off against Steph Curry and the Warriors.
So
and
funny, I hate you. And that unless was
you like what I did there? And then unless Steph Curry drops 60 points, I just feel like the Memphis Grizzlies team just is just a little more balanced, and Steph just not going to be able to do enough to keep the AFC. So I got to stick with my bet, so I'm going to put these bricks in my pocket, stand my ground, Memphis to beat the Spurs. But if I'm wrong, I'll come in here, or maybe I won't show my face. Who knows? Nonetheless.
I won't show my face.
We'll Stir the Pod Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pod Sports. Also, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Stir the Sport 1 and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys also check out our website, clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pod Sports. And on Spotify, on your long commute to work, just make sure you guys put in CMG Sports. Stir the Pods will come up there. You know our awesome logo. You'll see us. Guys, I'm very excited to see what the rest of the play-in is going to look like. I'll definitely be watching LeBron versus Steph for, I don't know, what is it, the 300th time now? I can't get enough of it. I'm excited. Nonetheless, you know, the play-in tournament, it started out hot. I'll see how it finishes today. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sandra Sanchez. We'll catch you on Friday.
The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradbury, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Which. Attention all basketball fans. CMG Sports presents the Posting Up Podcast, where Lucas Boldick, Sean Scanlon, and King Zay discuss the latest news and topics throughout the NBA. So, if you have a love for basketball, make sure you check out the Posting Up Podcast, live every Tuesday and Saturday on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Also available for download on every podcast platform.